Welcome to the scene. I'm your host, Andrea Kruska, and I'm joined today by Kim Winkle, director of the School of Art, Craft, and Design at Tennessee Tech, as well as the Appalachian Center for Craft, and also a woodworking artist. Kim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Andrea. I'm super excited to be here with you today.
Give me a little bit of background, not just on your work at Tennessee Tech, but also your work as an artist.
Okay, great. Well, I am originally from Oklahoma. I'm born and raised in the middle of Oklahoma, Oklahoma City area. I grew up making art and appreciating art and always being around art, which then led me to study art at the university. I earned my Bachelor of Fine Arts in Ceramics from the University of Oklahoma. And then I moved to San Diego to go to graduate school with the intention of earning my Master of Fine Arts degree in ceramics. But fortune and fate led me down a different path. I was inspired to take a woodworking class. My second semester in graduate school, there was a sort of powerhouse, amazing figure that led the furniture program. Her name was Wendy Maruyama, who everybody said, you have to take a class with her. She's amazing. And so I did. I took a class with her. And it was, you know, it was the right fit, love at first sight, so to speak, and seemed natural for me. Fortunately, she saw, I guess, some interest and potential in me and encouraged me to change my concentration area over to woodworking. Initially, I was reluctant because I thought, no, you know, I love ceramics and I came here to do ceramics. So, no, I'm not going to do that. And then I thought, well, that's really silly because, you know, you go to school to learn. And I just hadn't been exposed to woodworking prior. And I just didn't realize, you know, the potential there as a creative and expressive material. So I gave it some thought and ultimately decided to change my area of focus over to woodworking. And it's been a blessing, really. It's opened so many creative pathways for me. I've met a lot of new people. But having said that, I do think my ceramics background really influences the way I treat the material and has given me a broader understanding of materials, processes, equipment, which really helps me in my current position as the director of the School of Art, Craft, and Design. As you probably know, and as some of the listeners may know, at the Appalachian Center for Craft, which is a satellite campus of Tennessee Tech University, we have an 87,000 square foot facility that's dedicated to craft and craft education. So it includes glass blowing, blacksmithing, small metals, ceramics, fibers, and woodworking. So having that experience working across materials, across mediums is really helpful for me as I work to support our faculty and our students through studio upgrades, facility attention, and also having a better understanding of curricular matters, having firsthand experience in most of the mediums that we offer. To, I guess, follow that up, I earned my Master of Fine Arts in Furniture Design, and then I moved to Tennessee on August 15th, 2002, just 20 years ago.
Wow, almost exactly 20 years.
Yes, almost exactly 20 years ago. And what brought me here is the residency program at the Appalachian Center for Craft. Wendy Maruyama, who I mentioned a minute ago, she's a major player in the contemporary craft field and has been very influential in sort of informing and shaping the appearance of craft today. Well, coincidentally, she was a resident artist and also an instructor at the Appalachian Center for Craft in the late 80s. So she's the one who made me aware of the Craft Center. And so I came to the Craft Center to do a residency, planning to be here for 1 year. And, you know, life and work evolved. And, you know, I have the good fortune of still being here. It's a wonderful place to live, wonderful community.
I'm sure. And coming to this area, and it's such a huge community and such a huge culture here. And we've got so many incredibly talented people. And then watching all the students come up, I imagine that has to be really rewarding.
Oh, absolutely. The community is a major component that has really made me fall in love with this area. And, you know, I want to stay here. And it's also great because many of our alumni and former resident artists have also settled in the area. I think it's a very inviting place to live. There is a strong supportive arts community regionally. And so it's been a blessing. So I'm really grateful to be here.
We'll be right back on the scene with more with Kim Winkle.
That rare 45 from the 1960s?
The one you wore out on your record player.
Search for the rare at Harper's.
That classic story of intrigue and mystery.
The book you can't put down.
Get a scare.
Or romance in the air.
At Harper's.
The hub for anything and everything creative.
Harper's rare books and collectibles.
If it's rare.
If it's groovy.
If it's one of a kind.
You just might find it at Harper's.
Just down from the depot in Cookeville's historic West Side.
The kind of place that's much less store and much more about the search.
Stroll, look, sit a spell.
Hang out, soak in the unique and the rare.
But be warned.
You just may be late getting back to work.
It's new every time you walk through the doors.
Harper's rare books and collectibles. 41 West Broad Street, Cookeville.
A one-of-a-kind book, collectible records, and unique treasures.
The community's hub for all things creative.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Cookeville's historic West Side.
Welcome back to The Scene. I'm here today talking to Kim Winkle, woodworker and director of the Tennessee Tech School of Art, Craft, and Design. Kim, what are you working on right now?
Well, right now I'm kind of in between projects. Part of my professional and creative practice includes a lot of teaching workshops. I had the good fortune as a graduate student to be able to go and take workshops at non-academic workshop institutions. Some of them include Penland School of Crafts in North Carolina, Haystack Mountain School of Crafts in Maine. And so now I'm able to sort of go full circle and teach the communities that I was a part of as a student to grow craft education. So I just finished up a full summer of teaching workshops in a variety of places, literally from coast to coast, from coastal Washington and Port Townsend to all the way to New Jersey at Peters Valley School of Arts and Crafts. And so right now I'm about to embark on a commission. I was reached out to by a collector who has recently had to have knee replacement surgery and needs a step stool to help them get into their bed. So they reached out to me. They have admired my work for some time and asked if I would please be willing to make an artist-created step stool for her to get in and out of her bed. And so I was excited to do the project because she's an amazing woman, has served on the board of a number of prominent craft institutions, and I've had the opportunity to get to know her a little bit as well. And so I'm going to start on sketches to work on that, go back and forth in a conversation with her, sort of as though we're both kind of designers of sorts. So that's one project I have that I'm about to start. Also, the Museum of Art and Design in Oakland, California has reached out to me, and they're interested in carrying my work in their store. So I need to, get into production mode and get some things going for that. So creatively, that's what I have on the horizon right now.
So as you start working on things like this, where are you getting your inspiration? I imagine the functional art is a little bit different from something you would sell in the museum gift store, for example.
Right. That is true. With the functional piece, definitely it's all about structure and serving the needs that she has. But I think there's also a great opportunity to imbue personality and charm and quirkiness into the project through, exaggerated shapes, maybe some color, maybe some texture, maybe some mark making. Where I get inspiration is really all over the place. I guess the better question might be, where don't I get inspiration? I think things as simple as a loose thread, the way it sort of clings to itself and creates this sort of scribbly line on the carpet or on the floor, that I get a lot of inspiration from that. I don't tend to look a lot at furniture design for sources of inspiration. I think that it can be very easy to accidentally and subconsciously be a little too derivative of that. Mm-hmm. Where I find more inspiration is in things like quilts, looking at the way color combinations come together or the secondary mark making through the stitched marks themselves. I get a lot of inspiration from non-Western cultures. There are Fonte flags from West Africa that utilize appliqué and typically illustrate a proverb. And they're just wonderful celebrations of the culture, wonderful celebrations of form and concept without feeling so tethered to describing appearances super faithfully. And so I really like that. As a result, I think that there's so much personality and charm that's imbued into those objects. So I tend to look more at things like wallpaper designs, textile designs, quilting, non-Western art forms, color combinations, let's say, for example, used by Aboriginal artists in Australia, secondary mark making on top of those big patterns and colors with small dots and lines. Those are the places I tend to find a lot of inspiration. Additionally, I find a lot of inspiration from my students. You know, I think just being open, open eyes and open mind, you can find inspiration anywhere.
Absolutely. And it's so easy to be inspired by students who are still so excited about everything they're doing because it's still really new for them. So I love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll be right back on the scene with more with Kim Winkle. You're back on the scene, and I'm here talking to Kim Winkle. Couple lightning round questions for you. Which do you prefer, instructing or working on your own things?
Instructing.
Who are some of your favorite artists?
That's a toughie. I have a variety of favorites. Bill Traylor is one of my favorites. He is a naive artist, outside artist, which means he wasn't academically trained. He's no longer alive. Sadly, I don't recall offhand his life story and his age, but he worked in the streets of the South, an African-American artist that would find whatever materials he could locate and create his artwork on those. And these wonderful stylized figures, kind of these really long tapered legs and little tiny feet. His work is very graphic, almost silhouette form. He also utilizes a lot of animals. And I've come to learn that I am very drawn to artworks that show animals. When I look at my own personal art collection, I have a lot of animals featured in that collection. So he's an artist. Also, the quilts of G's Bend. I love those quilts. When I was a resident artist, there was an exhibition of their quilts on display in Memphis, and they just blew my mind. I mean, just spectacular displays of color, visual rhythm, mark making. And it's a group from Alabama, rural Alabama, G's Bend. And I would say that those two artists I find very inspirational. How their styles and works their way into my work, I don't know that it necessarily does directly, but, you know, all of the information that we take in, it works its way in some form or fashion into the work that I create.
What's been your most rewarding thing about instructing students?
I think the most rewarding is the confidence that they develop and grow over the course of their time with us. It is so amazing to watch these students. You know, they come in at different levels of skill, different levels of confidence. Their social skills, you know, run the gamut as well. And to see them come in, a student come in who's a little timid, a little insecure, a little shy, to see them develop their technical skills and find their creative voice through the materials and processes to the point where when they leave, they're confident in their abilities and who they are as a person. And then to see them go on and continue to flourish and have wonderful technical and creative accomplishments in the field. It's really one of the things I find most rewarding about being an educator.
I love that. And I know you've got a couple big events coming up with the art schools. So tell me about First Friday and then Bacchanal.
Well, we are very proud and excited to be active members in the creative community here in the Upper Cumberland region. And we have a couple of events that are taking place that we are going to be a part of. One is First Friday, and that's going to take place on the first Friday of September. And it's going to take place in the lobby area of the Roden University Center and the Joan Derryberry Art Gallery. So we have some alumni, we have our Visual Arts Society, which is our student arts organization, along with the School of Art, Craft, and Design, who are going to participate there in the lobby and welcome the community to see what our students are doing, what our alumni are doing, what we're doing as a School of Art, Craft, and Design, including our new degree offering that we have, which is a Bachelor of Science in Studio Arts. And also the Joan Derryberry Art Gallery is going to be open to welcome to the public.
Awesome. And then really quick, Bacchanal, when is it and what is it?
Oh, goodness. Bacchanal is a super popular, fun-filled, art-filled event that will take place on Sunday, October 23rd, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. at Spanky's. And it is an annual scholarship fundraiser. This will be our 25th anniversary to host Bacchanal, and all of the proceeds from the event support scholarships for art students in the School of Art, Craft, and Design. It is a festive Bacchus feast with a live auction that gets quite competitive and entertaining. And it's a wonderful community event, and we invite everybody to attend. And you can find more information at tintech.edu/Bacchanal.
And we'll make sure we add that onto our social media for everybody. Kim, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was a real joy. Thank you.